Jenny Mack with your daily comedy news. It's Sunday. I'm sad because the Lakers show is over. No more Winning Time on HBO. But soon we might have even more basketball comedy. This from NetsDaily.com, your home for comedy news. Ronnie Chang will play the general manager of the Brooklyn Nets in an unnamed comedy series being developed for Hulu. Nets Daily says the Nets are cooperating in the production. The NBA will have to sign off. No details on the show's concept or timing. But a report out of Hollywood suggests it'll shoot in late July. What is this called? Losing Time? I'm so excited for the George Carlin documentary. Well, I'm excited for you. I've seen it. I know how awesome it is. That's out Friday on HBO. The other day, the New York Times did a big article about George Carlin. They reminded us that during the pandemic, Carlin drew attention for a routine from 1999 in which he suggested that a childhood spent swimming in the polluted Hudson River was the reason he didn't catch polio. Kelly Carlin explained that some viewers concluded wrongly that her father would have opposed coronavirus vaccine. Kelly told the Times, everyone's like, see, George Carlin would have been anti-vax. My dad was pro-science, pro-rational thinking, pro-evidence-based medicine. The man was a heart patient for 30 years. When he was a kid and the polio vaccine became available, he got the polio vaccine. Kelly Carlin generally tries to avoid intervening in these kinds of disputes, but she told the Times, I felt it was important that people not use him to undermine what we needed to do to get through this virus. Some wonder what Carlin would say about Trump or Biden or Elon Musk or Marvel. Kelly said, I think we're in a time of exponential uncertainty as a species. He's a man who looked forward and said, this is not going to end well. He saw the chaos coming. From Yahoo, Taylor Thompson shares why she needs to find the funny in her bipolar diagnosis. Her latest version of her act gets into the landmine of navigating relationships in your late 20s. Taylor said, I felt like, well, my friends are getting married, but it's fine because I have my career figured out. But now my friends have their careers figured out and they're married. So you're kind of like, oh, we're doing both now? She also talks about being diagnosed with bipolar disorder. She jokes, when I got diagnosed, they started listing names. You know who else is bipolar? Selena Gomez. And I was like, that does make me feel better. She's very pretty. Okay, I'll be bipolar. It took me a long time to accept that I needed to figure out something that worked for me because I had tried getting on antidepressants a few times over the years. It didn't work out. And I would give up and I would just go, I'm fine. I'll just be really healthy. As long as my relationship's working, I'll be fine. And you kind of realize that a few years of that, you're like, oh, I really do need to figure this out. This needs to be a priority for me. I had all the shame because when I was a kid, my parents were like, you don't get on medication. That's weak. That's not good for you. So I think I kind of felt weak for needing that. I was surprised that I felt embarrassed when I first found out because I think I'm very open-minded. I have friends who have bipolar and you never judge your friends. You never felt like that was a big deal. But when it's you, you somehow realize you have all this deeper stuff from when you were a kid. Steve Harvey chimed in on the slap. We're going to hear from everybody on the slap. Okay, Steve Harvey, what is your take? He told Deadline, I'm a Christian, but I'm really undeveloped. I don't have high-level Christianity. On a scale of 1 to 10, I'm like a 2. That's the level of Christianity I can work on. If you slap me, if you sit back in your seat, Jada will have to move out of the way. That's the kind of Christian I am. Mike Birbiglia was asked, is it tough when you're pegged as a celebrity, but people can't place you? Birbig said, yeah, it is. People recognize me, but they don't know what they recognize me from. I was at Whole Foods recently. This guy comes up to me and goes, wait, what are you in? And I said, I'm in the worst conversation of my life. What are you in? And he goes, me too. And I said, you cast me, because then you end up going through everything you've been in. I don't know what you've seen. I don't know what you're into. I'm a niche comedian. People come to see me for a very specific type of comedy experience. And sometimes people will go, I hope you make it. That happened to me years ago when I was off Broadway performing Sleepwalk With Me. After the show, I'm standing in front of a theater. There's a big picture in my head. And this woman goes, I hope you make it. And I'm like, I think this is it. I'm not aspiring for a lot more. Howie Mandel sounds very sad. This from Movie Web. Howie said, I never dreamed there'd be a moment where I could list people who are just gone. I remember being in a room with every one of these people, and there was such a sense of invincibility. Now the silence is deafening. There aren't words to describe the losses. I absolutely loved Gilbert Gottfried. He was the sweetest. This just compounds the feeling of fragility. This can all end tomorrow, so it's important to absorb each moment and each second with the people you love and care about. I think I was the last person to talk to Gilbert. I talked to him as he was going into the ambulance, going to the hospital last time. I miss him. He was an amazing father, an amazing brother, an amazing husband. You don't think of him like that because he's very acerbic. He was the king of too soon, but he also defined what comedy is. Comedy, which we're losing, is the ability to find humor in the darkest moment. Nobody could do that better than Gilbert. When we moved out here in the 70s in the comedy boom, we were all friends. And I'm talking about Bob Saget, Gilbert Gottfried, Louis Anderson. We were the kids. To imagine that those guys are no longer here and I'm no longer calling them, I can't call them again. The laughter has silenced. Vulture had an article called Gilbert Gottfried, remembered by those who knew him. Patton Oswalt said, Gilbert believed in that old Tim Conway philosophy. One time it's funny, three times it's not funny, 19 times it's hilarious. I agree with that. Susie Essman said, I'd never seen anything like him. I mean, whoever saw anything like Gilbert? To this day, no one has made me laugh as much as Gilbert offstage. We would just laugh together for hours. I always wondered if Gilbert thought I was funny or if he just enjoyed me laughing at him. He was relentless, like a dog with a bone, once he got an idea and wanted it to work. At Catch a Rising Star, if there were stragglers at 2 in the morning and you wanted to leave, you'd put Gilbert up and he'd clear the room. He'd do all these esoteric things you couldn't imagine, like old Abbott and Costello stuff, just insane, and he was the funniest ever because he knew he was doing it just for us. He had a very fertile mind. Anthony Jeselnik said, every time I talked to Gilbert in person, it was like talking to your grandpa, just very unassuming, didn't say a lot, very nice, very sweet. Yep, that's exactly my experience talking to Gilbert. But then he'd get on stage and a switch would flip and it was the funniest thing. He was my absolute favorite. It wasn't like, oh, let me repeat this joke to you. It was just the way he screamed it out with such confidence that just completely blew me away. He was never like, oh, aren't I edgy? With the voice, he almost made it sound like he had to tell the jokes, like he was the medium that the jokes lived on through until today. Everybody loved him and comics love to hate each other. Patton Oswalt said, whatever a comedian does whenever there's a horrible tragedy, the first thing that goes through our heads is, where are all the most inappropriate jokes? Most of us are happy to have those go by in our heads. Gilbert wanted to say them out loud. He thought it was all part of the fun, which made him more dangerous. In all of the loudness and all of the abrasiveness, there's a gentleness, and it totally matched up with how he was off stage. I know the basic cliche is, in real life, he was a very shy, gentle person, but that kind of matched up with the loud, abrasive guy on stage. There's a form of shyness to put up a level of a wall with the vocal volume and eyes closed and characterization. There's still a gentleness and a playfulness to what he's doing. He's truly having a lot of my favorite things, this is Patton Oswalt speaking, were just Gilbert telling old jokes on stage. The way he'd go into them was so perfect. My favorite, of course, a guy finds a genie in a lamp and the genie goes, I'll grant you one wish. The guy brings out this folded piece of paper, this old map, and says, this is the Middle East. It's nothing but bloodshed and hatred. If you could please bring peace to this area, it would mean so much to me. And the genie's like, even with all my powers, I can't do this. Ask me for anything else. The guy goes, well, you know, I've been married for 40 years. My wife has never given me a BJ. Can you get her to give me a BJ? And the genie says, let me look at the map again. You'll find that full article in Vulture. And if you like Irish sketch comedy, well, good news. Foil Arms and Hogg, they're back. They sold out their spring tour dates. They're coming back to the U.S. for the fall. They'll start November 4th in Boulder. They'll finish up November 19th in Chicago at the Vic Theater, which is not a small building at all. Foil Arms and Hogg, Ireland's top sketch comedy group, might be more popular than you realize. A mix of sketch comedy, audience participation, and improv, the trio have been touring for over 9 years. They won Best Reviewed Show at the Edinburgh Fringe in 2018 and 2019, and that is your comedy news for today. Follow the show for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your shows. You can become a premium subscriber, get the episodes early and ad-free on Apple Podcasts. $5 a month to do that. Go to Apple Podcasts. They'll put that option under your nose. Or you can buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. Meet you back here tomorrow.